The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 33, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 4th, 2008, in Canberra, Australia.
So today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Padna uchu yagyayam tava yajanaya kena shrishto vedvasta pashu patinadya dakshakopat tannastvangshava shayanabhashantu medham Yagyatmana lina ruchadrishapunihi Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajnas have been lost. Now by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may again be invoked. And you sit up. Yeah. We train ourselves to sit up. It helps our consciousness to be more focused. We have a tendency to, you know, it's our Western culture. This is our tendency. But if you look at Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he's always like, it's actually, Prabhupada said, the Gurukula children can learn one thing, it's how to sit straight. Yeah, we're not trained that way in our culture, you know, it's just, we're so accustomed to slouching around. But actually, if we can gradually train ourselves how to sit nicely, it really is, it's good for our Krishna consciousness. So it's good for everyone to train themselves how to sit nicely. Purport. Animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give them renewed life. That was the purpose of having animals there. Offering an animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life was the evidence of the strength of chanting mantras. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the head of Daksha. Their bodies were lying about and the sacrificial arena was turned into a crematorium. Thus, the real purpose of yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of such sacrificial ceremonies, was requested by the wives of the priests to glance over the yajna arena with his causeless mercy so that the routine work of the yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to prove the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantras. They should not have been killed as they were by Lord Shiva to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the grants of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. Vandeham Shri Guru
Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Savaduta Varijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, not very nice to kill animals. There was some license for the Brahmins to do that because they were rejuvenating them. They could put an old cow into the sacrificial fire and bring that same jiva soul out into the body of a young calf. So that was allowed. But when Shiva came in the middle of it and devastated the whole thing, then all these animals are lying there dead, you see. Not very nice thing. Is the cutting almost done, or they're going to go on for a long time in the kitchen? Prabhupada didn't allow such things while there was a class going on. Cut, cut. Prabhupada stopped it. He said, what is that sound? Depends, but how much cutting is left to do. See if how much cutting is left. It's almost done.
And these are working people.
So, the poor animals are lying there, and the wives of the Brahmins are requesting that Lord Vishnu can bring them back to life. The present time, we are like the dead animals, actually. That is our position. We are like the dead animals. And now we have to be brought back to life. So this process of Krishna consciousness is bringing the dead back to life. We are like walking dead. It's like you can take a dead body and you can animate it with some, like a puppeteer, you see, pulling the strings. So we are like dead bodies just being dead, but being manipulated by the puppeteer Maya. To do this and do that. Practically, we are dead. Without Krishna consciousness, we are dead. We have no life. Therefore, they are sleeping. Even though they live here, they are sleeping during the morning program. They're not coming. They have the greatest opportunity to directly associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead at Mangalarti, but they are sleeping. Because they are dead men. So, the whole society, we are dead. So the great sages, they come to us to awaken us from our dead condition, you see. Therefore we offer our obeisances to these great sages. Om jnana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. I was completely dead in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has come to me to give me life, to awaken me with the shining lamp of torch of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Hmm. Without the grace of a spiritual master, we're nowhere.
Yasha prasada bhagavat prasado yasha prasada nagati gutopi.
Without his blessings, one can't make any advancement. So somehow or other, we have to get the blessings of the spiritual master. That's our only hope for becoming happy. So we have to please him. That's how we get his blessing. We have to please the spiritual master. We have to engage in activities that are prescribed in the scriptures. That's how we please him. Not by some material means, but by being obedient to the scriptural injunctions. That's how we please the spiritual master. Not by bribing him or flattering him. But by following the injunctions of the revealed scriptures, by following the pathway of the great acharyas, mahajano yena gatasya pantha. This is how we please. Why does that please him? Because he simply wants to see that Krishna is pleased, that's all. He has no personal agenda. He is collecting the loving offerings and the service simply to offer those to Krishna, not for himself. I was with His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in 1972 in New Vrindavan. There was a big series of lectures. It was advertised, Bhagavad Dharma Discourses. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was giving a whole series of lectures. It was very well publicized. The New York Times was there. I think Newsweek came. Big media came to attend this, to cover this event. It's a big success, attracting the media. And Prabhupada, this was on his Vyas Puja day. We were worshipping him like God in front of all the media people. And he had to explain to them so they would not misunderstand. He said, it is like during the British rule, there was the viceroy in India, the British viceroy, he stayed there in India. You see. And the king, he's in England, you see, but the viceroy is in India. So whenever the viceroy would come, he would be given all the same honor and respect as that which was given to the king. But whatever gifts he would receive, you see, he would not personally keep. He would send those to London, to the royal treasury, you see. So whatever honor or gifts he had received, it wasn't for him actually, but he accepted it on behalf of the king. So, in the same way, Prabhupada explained, the spiritual master, he is simply accepting on behalf of Krishna or God. So the spiritual master, therefore, should be given all honor and respect, just as we do to Krishna himself. Shakshadharitvenasamastashastrayar. He is said to be directly Hari, you see, because he is the empowered representative of Hari. Therefore, the same honor and respect we give to Krishna, we give to the Acharya, the spiritual master. The same power that Krishna has to awaken us, that same power is there in the hands of the bona fide spiritual master. The same benefit that Arjuna had by hearing 45 minutes Bhagavad Gita on the chariot, we can receive the same benefit just by coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. His words have the same potency. The other day someone wrote me, they said, well, when I hear a recording of Srila Prabhupada's chanting, is that the same as if I was physically there hearing him? Is it the same? I explained, actually it's according to your faith. Because actually the full potency is there. Whether you could be sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet, directly hearing the words coming from his mouth, or you're hearing a recording, actually it's the same potency, the same Shakti. Or whether you're reading the written word of Srila Prabhupada, or if you're hearing from a devotee, a disciple of Prabhupada who's strictly following him, who's repeating his teachings, the same potency is there. The same potency. Whether I hear it directly from Prabhupada's mouth, whether I hear it from a recording, whether I read it in his book, or I hear it from someone who's purely preaching on Prabhupada's behalf. The same potency, the same Shakti is coming through. It's simply a matter of one's faith. So the spiritual master carries with him Krishna Shakti Veena Nahi Tare Pravartana. He carries with him the Shakti of Krishna. So we have to connect ourselves to that Shakti by submissive hearing and by rendering service. By this activity, submissively hearing from and serving the bona fide spiritual master, the pure devotee guru, then we achieve all success, all happiness. And then we become, even though we are now dead, just like these poor animals in the sacrifice, even though we are now dead, we become rejuvenated. We become brought back to life by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. So I can ask if there's any questions. What's your question? Ah, okay, very good. Yes. Actually, one does not have to go seeking a bona fide spiritual master. Not necessary. One simply has to sincerely want to realize God, that's all. And then, Krishna will send the spiritual master to you. Krishna is in the heart, Paramatma. And he knows your heart. So if your heart is genuine, your heart is sincere, you want to do the will of God. You're ready to do whatever God wants, you see. Completely ready to purely surrender yourself to the Lord. Then the Lord will send to you a spiritual master who can then train you how to do them. The Chaitya Guru within your heart, he will manifest externally when you're ready to surrender to the Chaitya Guru and you're needing direction of how to do that. He will manifest externally as the bona fide spiritual master. And he's in the heart of every single living entity throughout the entire universe. So anytime that anybody is ready, Krishna will send him a bona fide spiritual master. Everyone has an equal opportunity to become spiritually perfect. They simply have to have the desire. That's all. Yes. Just consider the vast creation of the Lord. The vast existence that is there. The 3/4 portion is the spiritual sky. And the one which is where there are unlimited millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions of planets, you see. And then the 1/4 portion of that spiritual sky is the material sky. In this material sky, there are millions and billions of universes. And what is your name, Manaji?
Mahadaya.
Okay. So there are millions and billions of universes here in this material universe, you see, material world. And we are in one of those particular universes. It is the universe of Chaturmukhi Brahma, the four-headed Brahma. The other universes are very much bigger than this one. There you Brahmas have 40 heads, 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 4 million heads, 4 billion heads, 4 trillion heads, like that. Our universe is very, very tiny little universe. Our Brahmaji, therefore, only has 4 heads. It is the Chaturmukhi Brahma universe, you see, very small universe. But in this universe, there are millions and billions of planets, you see. And this earth planet is just one little tiny mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds of planets, you see. And on this planet, there are many, many continents. You see. And in many continents, there is one continent known as Australia. And in Australia, there are many, many states. Is this New South Wales? Or Victoria?
Yeah, New South Wales.
No, this is a national district. Yeah. What do they call it? Australia Capital Territory. Of all the different states in the vast land known as Australia. This is one state, is Australia Capital Territory. You see. And within the Australia Capital Territory, there is one city known as Canberra. But there's some other cities also that are part of it, right?
It's pretty small. It's just small cities.
Only Canberra. All right. So there is one city called Canberra within Australia. And in that city, there's some... What is the name of this street?
Limestone.
In the city of Canberra, there are many, many, many streets. And one of those streets is Limestone Street. And on that limestone street, there are many, many different houses and buildings, you see, hundreds of them. And there is one building, it is called the Hare Krishna Temple, and there is one Mataji in the Hare Krishna Temple. Her name is Mahadaya Devi Dasi. But she is thinking that she is God, you see. That she's the center of all of the existence. So that's which is a complete illusion. One has to realize how tiny and how significant I actually am. Just by understanding, you know, how tiny is this earth planet and how many continents, how many cities there are, how many streets there are, how many houses there are, but yet here I am and I'm thinking that I'm God. This is the greatest, this is the Mahamaya, the greatest illusion, you see. That I am, this is an illusion, loquissimo. In Spanish we say loquissimo. Very, the epitome of madness, you see. Extremely crazy, loquissimo. You see. Thinking that I am the center of the universe. But if you understand from the Vedic descriptions how small even this planet is, then what is your position? On this planet, you're nothing. And this planet is nothing compared to this universe. This universe is nothing compared to the material existence. And the material existence is nothing compared to the spiritual existence. And that spiritual existence is nothing compared to Krishna. You see. So just try to understand how tiny and how significant you are. Maya Daya Devi, let's see. You see, don't think you're great. Understand how insignificant you are. You see, this is called intelligence. So, any other questions?
How can we develop detachment?
How can we develop detachment?
It is very simple. The way to become detached is offer everything to Krishna. One man, he went into the bank and he thought, he said, I will become detached. So he went into the bank and he said, I renounce this bank. This is like the Mayavadi who says, neti, neti. Is that how he cultivates the detachment? No, he's crazy. I renounce this bank. It's like someone says, I renounce this world, you see. You see, I'm so detached, I renounce this world. That's craziness. You can't become detached by doing that. That's artificial. You see. Another man, he walked into the bank with a gun and said, okay, fill up my briefcase with cash. This is a hold up. This is a robbery. You see, he is also a fool. He's a thief. Whether you're a thief or whether you're an artificial renunciate, in either position, you're improperly situated. But the devotee who sees that everything is the property of Krishna and who therefore engages everything in the service of Krishna, he is the true detached person, you see. He sees the proper utilization of everything. He uses it all for Krishna. So that is the detachment. Whatever you have, whatever ability you have, whatever possessions you may have, whatever influence you may have, utilize all of that to please your spiritual master and to please Krishna. And that is the perfection of detachment. Questions more? Okay, we'll stop here. Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.